You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. Welcome to the Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Hello, happy Sunday and welcome to the Show and Go on SEN with myself, rugby tragic Jimmy Galvin, and my co-host, Mr. Drew Mitchell. Drew, welcome to the Show and Go again. Another great Sunday of great rugby.
Mate, thanks for welcome. Huge rugby over the weekend.
Oh, it's been a fantastic weekend in rugby. We've had the Super Rugby final, the finals over in Europe, in England. We've had women's rugby, Shoot Shield, and we've got some news as well. So we've got plenty to chat over.
None of those contests have been bigger than perhaps you and I yesterday, head-to-head virtual golf.
Yeah, and it was a fierce contest down at Playfair Golf in Randwick, a new golf simulator bar, and Jimmy gets the win. It was an incredible performance out there. I think it was by about 6 shots on a virtual golf course.
I capitulated.
Course. Yeah. You did fall. When you fall apart,
I really fall hard.
You do. Yeah. When it is tough to navigate the woods in a golf simulator.
Yeah. Look, it's I want a rematch.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I understand that. I think fair is fair. You're putting your rematch clause through, a bit like George Kambosos, are you?
Yeah, absolutely. But then we went back to my place and we watched basically some great footy in the afternoon, the Super Rugby final, and then stayed up throughout the night to watch the English final as well. That was a huge game.
Oh, it was an epic, absolute epic. And we got to have your wings along the way as well.
Yeah,
on the wing.
Delightful.
By Drew Mitchell. And let me tell you, delicious. I think we actually ended up getting a sneaky second batch in there as well for the second game, just quietly. But Drew,
let's jump into it. It takes us
to our Gut Performance Tight 5 for the week. Head to gutperformance.com.au. Help your gut out. First up is the Super Rugby final. We'll touch on it briefly now because we've got none other than Izzy Dagg joining us on the show from over in NZ, who's going to give us a good Kiwi insight.
Great man from across the Dutch.
But 21-7, the Crusaders dominated their classic finals footy style up over the Blues.
Yeah, look, that was probably going to be their strength, the finals pedigree in the Crusaders across their squad, just knowing what it takes when they get to those positions and those games and what wins those games. And I just thought performances, the standout performers were Richie Maunga and Whitelock for me.
Massively.
Yeah. Like Beauden Barrett was barely seen.
Yeah, you mentioned that during the game. It's he was it a, more of a matter that he got played out of it or was he having a bad game?
I think we're just so conditioned for him to find a way to impact a game. And he just wasn't able to do that.
No.
Yesterday afternoon. And then you've got Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, who's been named in the All Blacks squad, who got replaced after 44 minutes. Not through injury.
That's a confidence knock, isn't
they
it?
They just wanted to try and find something else. They brought Bryce Heme on just to see if they could change it up. Didn't really get the results they were wanting either. So, you know, it's hard for someone like Roger to get into the game when the guy inside him pulling the strings, Beauden, isn't even in the game. So it was an interesting selection decision from Leon McDonald to pull Roger Tuivasa-Sheck off.
Yeah, I think I mean it's going to be an interesting one if they're going to play him in the All Blacks. I just don't know where he's going to fit into that setup. I mean
as well, you go in, you look at combinations. I thought that game there was a lot of head to heads that had All Black ramifications to it. Right, you got Havili against Tuivasa-Sheck. Then you've got Goodhue at 13 up against Rico Ioane. You've got the 10s against each other as well. So I think, you know, even if they want to go in to the All Blacks with a little bit of combination as well, you know, like this.
Yeah, the Crusaders.
You have to argue Havili probably deserves the 12.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think he's the incumbent there. Yeah. I think he was there last year as well. But
he's played a little bit. Like, he's shifted around a little bit. He's got that versatility to his game. But I think he's found a home at 12.
Yeah, I like that. Well, next up on the Tide 5, we have the English Premiership and URC. Leicester getting up in the last minute.
Yeah.
That was a cracking, with a drop goal as well from one of your mates.
Yeah, Freddie Burns, the great fella. He's one of the great guys in rugby. He's someone that does a job when he gets out there, quite evidently in this game in particular, but he's also someone who just loves life and loves to enjoy himself. And once he crosses the line or at the training venue, he'll do his work, but he's someone who just enjoys living. And okay. I love Freddie Burns. And for him to come on early, because George Ford got injured, he came on early, I think around the 20-minute mark, would have got plenty more minutes than he was anticipating, and to step up and take the shot at goal,
yeah,
get it at a packed house Twickenham. That's sort of childhood dream type stuff.
It was an incredible game of footy. Such high pace, such excellent tactics. Towards the end, players would just run off their feet with exhaustion. But what a spectacle that was for English rugby, and a couple of warning shots for Australian rugby ahead of this series before the England team comes out. I know they've got a game, the Barbarians versus England as well. Eddie Jones hasn't picked his stronger squad there.
Well, because, yeah, I mean, obviously the guys involved in the last night's final aren't in the current English squad. But yeah, it's some really strong performers and a couple of Aussies.
Guy Porter had a great game out there.
And Ron Weasley's mate.
Yeah, Harry Potter.
Yes.
Harry Potter. Yeah. Look, I thought that was a pretty brilliant exhibition of two Shoot Shield players that have played week in, week out Shoot Shield. Guy Porter, for example, Sydney University captain, that is stepping up to the big stage on the biggest dance there is in English rugby. And, mate, he held his own out there, that's for sure. His tackles
were strong.
I know he gave away that sort of contentious penalty at the start, but he was physical and he didn't look out of place there for a guy that was playing Shoot Shield 18 months ago. And really, why isn't he walking into the Tars?
Well, because he's at Leicester.
I know that much, true. But why haven't we got why isn't that guy coming into the Tars setup and he's excelling in the top level of English rugby?
You know, but I think that's also, we've got to look at it. Like, it's, if we've only got five teams and they're not getting a look in here and they go over and they can develop their game over somewhere else and then come back as a fully bona fide, you know, professional top tiered player, then that's also good for us.
I agree, yeah.
Better than just playing at a level that's, you know, not going to help them develop to reach their full potential. And then if we get our hands on them, that's the big if, though. If we get our hands
if
on them later, after
back,
once they've developed, then that's not a negative by any means.
I tell you who was a prime example of that is Billy Meeks, who went over to Gloucester originally. Yeah. And
he had the hair then, I think.
I think he did, yeah. Mm. But since then, he's matured in more ways than one. But he went to Gloucester, played incredible footy, became a more hardened, well-rounded player, and then came back and did end up getting a test, I think.
Was at least in the Wallaby squads. Yeah. I can't remember if he got caps.
I think he got a run against the Barbarians.
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I remember that game. But, I mean, he's exactly that. Went over, played his trade, developed, came back.
He was a Shoot Shield player, came through Norse, played Manly.
But, and then what else was on over the URC?
This is the big South African matchup.
Well, yeah, this is the competition with the South Africans, Welsh, Scottish, Italian, and Irish teams.
They've really thrown a spanner in the works of South Africans here, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the European clubs are starting to get a bit tushy about it.
Well, I mean, their European finals played in Cape Town between two South African teams.
I did see one thing, though. They have more than tripled their broadcast numbers from South Africa coming into that competition, which is something pretty cool.
I don't think they would have got too many numbers out of Europe
for the
final. But that was won by the Stormers. They beat the Bulls 18-13 in another tight tussle. So just a real good exhibition, good exhibition of footy right across the board over the weekend in all the finals. And I mean, it's a good little appetizer going into this little international window moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And some good footy being played on the big stage. On the smaller stage, grassroots level, Shoot Shield over the weekend. The two Blues have upset Randwick, absolute juggernauts of Shoot Shield, 21-5.
We keep saying this, but when is it going to be that it's not an upset?
Well, look, it's the year for it. I think this is a transformative year for the two Blues, and seeing headlines like that, 21-5, two Blues over Randwick, and in the other big one was Manly 20 over Sydney Uni 10. It's a tight comp this year in the Shoot Shield.
I think that was a 1-2, wasn't it? Manly and
one
Sydney
and two. Uni. 1-2. So, and also, I'll tell you what's good to see, Drew.
What is?
Plenty of Waratahs players out there for
going back
the Shoot Shield clubs. East Shield was clubs. Stacked yesterday with Jack Grant out there and Will Harris had a run as well. So that's good to see those guys coming back. But I tell you what is upsetting to see, Drew.
What is, mate?
On our Australian Wallaroos, 22-10, down to Canada. Every single game of this Four Nations Pacific Cup over in New Zealand recently, we have gone down.
Yeah.
Drew.
It's a worry. I mean, look, there's plenty of work to be done before the World Cup for the ladies. Yeah. Like you mentioned, they lost to New Zealand, Canada and the USA in, over the last couple of weeks. The other game, New Zealand beat USA 50-6. And we lost to both of those two as well as Canada on the weekend. It was just disappointing on watching yesterday's game. The girls were up 10-0 and then lost 22-10. So, once it sort of went against them, it kind of just stayed on that sort of trend yesterday afternoon. So, just look, there's still plenty of time. There's a lot of good things to like about their game.
I hope they can turn it around for the World Cup later this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, mate, last up on the Gut Performance Tight 5, mate, Pone Fa'amasuli. How was that?
It was not bad, not bad.
I know you've done some good pronunciation training recently, and you've been helping me with that. But, mate, he's re-signed up until the end of next year.
Yeah.
He's in the Wallaby squad at the moment, the Melbourne Rebels, a Victorian rugby product as well. Hard to get your hands on these days. And he is hanging around to the end of next year. The only major re-signing throughout the week. Good for Australian rugby?
Great for Australian rugby. Mate, this guy is massive.
He's a monster.
I remember when I was down in Melbourne for the Super Round and I was down on the sideline just doing the broadcasting stuff and he walked past and I just found myself just staring and just amazed.
I get a bit stares.
But just amazed at the physical stature of him. He's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's athletic.
He hits hard.
I think he's one of those players that you almost start to change your game a little bit around.
Bit like a Tupou?
Well, I just think you could play a short line out with him in the midfield.
Okay. Right?
You're going to get front football. You're going to get quick ball off the back. Much like, remember back in many years ago, Rodney Blake played for the Queensland Reds.
Rodzilla. How could
and
I
Rodzilla
forget?
Would play in that 13 channel on a short line out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no way you're not going to get front football.
Yeah.
Just get him over the advantage line, off the back of that, quick ball before they get around the corner and you're off. So play to that strength. Someone else can lift in a line out. It doesn't always have to be Bonnet or a prop.
Yeah. I tell you, one of the frustrating things for him is these calf injuries he's getting. I think it's about sort of 6 calf injuries in a row on different calves.
No, it was 13. It was more than 12 months before he played, but in tearing both calves, and they just kept going in different parts of the calf. And mate, if you saw this guy, there's a lot of calf to tear.
Yeah, he's got to carry a fair bit there.
Yeah. But it's good that he's finally sort of seems to have parked those injury issues.
Yeah, yeah.
And
hopefully, I'd like to see him on the field in the England series. I'd like to see how he goes up against the English props. Bit of physicality.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, we've got a bit of mongrel and physicality coming up here on the show today. We've got Izzy Dagg, former All Black and Crusader, that's going to give us a nice insight into the Super Rugby final, who would have been over there. So hang around. We'll be back right after the break.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Welcome back to The Show and Go on SEN. Drew, we have an absolute superstar guest up next. He's a friend from over the ditch. He works on SENZ as well. I think he's got his own show over there.
Mate, he's doing great things on the airwaves over there.
All Black and Crusader legend Izzy Dagg, Israel Dagg, welcome to The Show and Go.
Morning, lads. It's a great day to be a Crusader, past Crusader. Tell you what, boys, it was a great night watching the rugby. What a clinic.
What about that, hey?
How good.
That was just exactly how you play finals footy, wasn't it?
That's finals footy to a T. And that was the point I was trying to point out during the week when I had everyone under the sun coming at me left, right and centre telling me the Blues are going to win. I just said, look, finals footy is different. Moments, pressure, there's no tomorrow, and just you got to go out there, you got to take it. Hearing Razor talk about it, the mentality, you're just going to go there, take it, and take it to the Blues. Put them under pressure and see how they react. And look, in all honesty, they just did it for the full 70 minutes. Obviously, Finlay Christie scored that try, and I was a bit tense after that. But, mate, it was just an absolute clinic. Set piece, Sam Whitelock just showed his class, putting their line out under so much pressure. And they just never had an opportunity to get in the game. And you look on both sides with the 10, Crusaders, a good ball, front foot ball, Richie wind up, the masterclass on.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, Bowden Barrett just was struggling to get any ball. We know how classy he is. So just goes to show. You know, set piece is huge.
Oh, massively. And I think the Blues line-out really let them down last night as well. I think it was seven line-out throws that they lost on their own ball there. So there was the set piece was a big part of the game. But we were just touching on earlier as well, Izzy, there were some huge matchups in that game for All Blacks selection. Do you think that performance last night is really going to help the hand for combinations from the Crusaders making up that All Blacks outfit for this upcoming series?
Well, I think it's going to go a long way. In all honesty, like last night, there was All Blacks matchups, you know, all over the park, and there's a lot of guys out there that are a bit hard done by. I think a guy like Cullen Grace playing at number 8 up against Hoskins Satutu, who made the All Blacks, so he probably had a, you know, a bit of a chip, chip on his shoulder, and he wanted a point to prove. So he went out there, did a masterclass. Then you got Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and David Harvey. You know, obviously Roger got selected in the All Blacks earlier in the week. David, he made it as well. But those two are playing for one position, and I thought Davey was his absolute class. Like his best performance of the year, just his combination with Richie Moonga, just you know, allowing Richie to be able to play his freestyle game. He's another kicking option, relieve a lot of pressure. So look, mate, it was just it was great. And even what about the scrum? Like, talk to me, lads.
Yeah.
The scrum. When those two young kids come on,
yeah,
and I'm thinking, oh, here we go. And then bang. They just got a penalty out of it. I couldn't believe it. So everything was everything worked last night.
Mate, what about what I always enjoy is just Scott Robertson just having a little dance afterwards. And the reason I enjoy it is because it looks like the players genuinely want to celebrate their coach and for him to do it. You know, sometimes when a coach does something like that, you know, the squad's like, oh, yeah, good nice on you, mate. Like, nice whatever, it's a player's game kind of thing. But it looks like they really just, like, love the man and want to celebrate with him and all the staff.
Mate, they love him because he actually genuinely cares. He cares about them, not only on the field, he cares about them off the field too, mate. Like, they've got that real passion. Like, all the partners and wives, you look in the stands, like, they're all there. The guys that hadn't even played all season, they flew them up. And it's a big family. You know, it's obviously on the outside looking in, people probably cringe and look at it and go, oh, you know, Razor's doing his thing. But, mate, that's just Razor. He doesn't change who he is.
Yeah.
And as players, he's got a real knack of inspiring you. Like, I always tell a story. When I made the team, you know, I used to go to training. It felt like work. When Razor got in there, mate, you go to training, and you actually generally want to be there because it's enticing. It's got energy. It's got feeling. It's got just a real underlying family feel, and that's what he does. And he makes you want to play for him. So, yeah, I was reading a few tweets, and I was like, "Don't dance. You know, players have their glory." And I was like, "Hey." Hey, no better place to do it than Eden Park in front of the orchards.
Rip in. Hey, Izzy, looking back at your history as a player, you actually came through the academy systems in New Zealand with coaches like Dave Rennie, who's now coaching our Wallabies. Mate, what do you make of Dave's early work at the Wallabies? And after watching a strong season of Super Rugby, where the Aussie team performed probably a little bit better than what New Zealand teams and New Zealand audiences thought we may have this year, what do you make of Australian rugby at the moment under Dave Rennie?
Mate, honestly, I thought at the start of the season it was going to be tough. But, mate, they really surprised me. I thought the Brumbies were hard done by. They should have been in the final, if I'm going to be completely honest. They went to Eden Park, had a game plan, probably, just missed a few opportunities there, like just a simple conversion or even that last moment, there's probably a little opportunity for a penalty, 38 out, maybe kicked it. But I think they're going great guns. And obviously with the inclusion of overseas players, just helps with that depth. You've got Modamirika Korobete coming back. You got Quaid coming back. You got quality, experienced players that will be able to help those young Oh, Lawler Seals and quality like that, Tate McDermott. So I think they're going to be sharp. Dave Rennie is a really what kind of case is it, mate? He's tough. He demands excellence. He demands to be perfect every time. Puts pressure on his players. Has the ability to get the best out of them and just creates a culture and environment where excellence is always on the front of their mind. So. Look, Dave's been put in a situation, and I think he's doing okay for now. I think give him time and the seat, and give him the opportunity to pick players that he wants. Then I think they're going to go great. Yeah,
mate. Moving ahead to the All Blacks versus Ireland series coming up, just give us a couple of players to look out for in the AB squad that you're looking forward to seeing.
Ooh, a couple of players that I'm really looking for. Look, I hope Lester Fainga-Nuku gets the opportunity. Mm. We saw what he was able to do last night. A guy that's been in the Crusader set up for a wee while now, and he's just grown. He's a good kid, man. When I was in there, this young kid just comes on, big body, works hard, asks the right questions. You know, like a guy like that, he'd probably come in and feel a little bit too cool, but mate, he was just always wanting to learn. So someone like Lester, really love to see him get another opportunity. Roger gets a crack. Yeah, it'd be great to see Roger Tuivasa-Sheck to get him in there. Whether 12's his position, I'm still unsure. I wouldn't mind seeing him out on the outside where he's got a bit of space, and we know how quick he is with ball in hand and agility he poses. So someone like Roger, battle the 10s.
Who would you pick? Barrett. Who would you pick?
Oh, look, I was Bodie all year. It's Bodie all here, and then, well, no, Richie just put on a clinic last night. Yeah. But I'd probably still say Bode.
Okay.
Wow, I'll give Bodie a crack. Yeah, I'll give Bodie a crack. Like, it was no 10 in their right mind. Dan Carter, Drew Mitchell, if you jumped in at 10, mate, he wouldn't even be able to play well last night if you're behind that man. So you give him good front ball, Bowden Barrett, give him a good set piece, good scrum, he'll be class. So I'll give him the reins, but knowing, if it doesn't, doesn't work out, you got a quality 10 like Richie Moonga coming off the bench. So, Falau Fakatava, lads. Wow.
Yeah, he's going to be good too. Yeah. Well, mate, I know that we've interrupted your Sunday afternoon activities. You're about to have a good crack on the golf course, so make sure you warm up. We don't want to hear of any injuries. You're getting a bit older now, so
you can only do better than Drew did yesterday at virtual golf, Izzy. I can assure you that.
Yeah, is he actually?
Yeah, I saw a couple going in the water.
Yeah, he inboxed me saying I need a few tips on my swing. Mate, thanks heaps.
Yeah, I'm running late, boys, so I'm gonna get paid out as soon as I turn up right on the first tee. No warm up, so this will be a shambles.
Just tell him you've been talking to a couple of Aussies, I'll be fine.
Yeah, sweet as. Hey, any time.
Thanks so much, Izzy. Good luck. That's Izzy Dagg from the All Blacks and the Canterbury Crusaders after Crusader Super Rugby final win. We'll be back after the news.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Welcome back to The Show and Go on SEN. Drew, I tell you what I like at the moment.
What do you like, mate?
And I just think it's a great concept.
What is?
The Australia A concept is back.
Yeah.
All right. I reckon Australian cricket used to do this well, where you'd have the Australia A team versus the Aussie team, and you'd have everyone going for the underdogs and stuff. I know they're not versing each other.
Yeah.
But it says something about the depth in Aussie rugby at the moment when you've got an Aussie A squad that's going out to play in the Pacific Nations Cup, you know?
Well, it's also great for these players that are playing in the Australia A squad to also maintain a level of match play in case they were to be selected for the Wallabies as well. I played a number of times for Australia A throughout my career, and it was always it was always
kept that quiet.
What do you mean?
You've never said that before.
Okay.
Maybe it's just
never come
that?
Up. Oh, yeah. Mate, I played down in Adelaide, Melbourne, against Fiji. Yeah, like plenty of times. I played North Sydney against Tonga as well at one point.
Yeah, right. Because we were having this conversation last night. Ryan McCauley from the Western Force, right?
Yeah.
He's got English descent. But if you play for Australia A, that counts you out of being able to represent England for another
three years. So, right? Basically, if you represent Australia A, Australia, and Sevens, then you've committed to that nation.
Right. For good.
For good, unless there's three. Now they've got this three-year window. If you haven't played for 3 years and you qualify, then you can play for another one. But yeah, that's what qualifies you, which is why Ryan McCauley, who was picked in the Australia A squad, has said no, no thank you, wants to keep his options open to perhaps play for England.
Well, as you have a look through the squad, I don't think Ryan's going to be a huge loss. I think that might have been a tactical
play
there
think
from
he's been,
rugby Australia as well.
I don't think he's been re-signed from the Western Force, so it's as much of why would you commit to a country that's you're not getting an opportunity, I would think. But also, if he was to go play in Europe and UK, he's a local, so his value is worth more.
Well, you take a look through the squad, and it's a strong squad that I think is going to compete with some of those island nations. So Andy Muirhead, unlucky to miss out on the squad for the Wallabies, but Fraser McWright, who's probably a good chance to be captaining this squad as well. Ryan Lonergan in at nine there, who's a very quality player as well. And then as you look, further throughout the squad, Lalekai Fekete would have been unlucky to miss out on the Wallabies as well. But, you know, you'd prefer these guys to be playing decent footy in actual games and holding hit shields, wouldn't you?
Well, that was the, the explanation from Dave Rennie for a guy like Fraser McWright. If he's there and he's playing week in, week out for Australia A, rather than holding a hit shield for Michael Hooper for the entire England series, then it's going to be better for him. It's going to be better for his development. It's also going to mean that he's hardened and match ready in the event that Michael Hooper goes down. So some of the players that missed out on the Wallaby squad to play 80 minutes each week for Australia A is for those reasons. You know, like even like players like Reece Hodge would be upset he missed out on the Wallabies, but he could play himself back into form in this Australia A series. I like the mix. There's a good mix of young players that are getting an opportunity and also players that have had a taste of Wallabies. And
Ned Hannigan's in there?
Ned Hannigan, yeah. I mean, Harry Johnson-Holmes as well. So I like it. I like the squad. And, you know, they're going up against a really strong Tongan side as well. They've named a really strong squad with some players that have played for other nations before and now qualify for playing for Tonga. So Izzy Folau is going to be one of those. Charles Piatau. There's a number of players that have really bolstered the squad for Tonga.
I can't wait to see. Do you know if it's going to be broadcast?
I'd say it would be. I'm not too sure who's covering it.
I haven't seen anything announced yet, but I hope so because...
All up in Fiji. All games are in Fiji.
Yeah. Maybe that'd be a good little holiday, Drew.
Well, I mean, for us, if we weren't playing, not much of a holiday if you're playing.
It's not a holiday when you're versing Fiji and Fiji, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Moving on to some other news in the Wallabies camp. Well, it's more less so the Wallabies camp, but last night the Wallabies and Stan unveiled an ad for the England series where they're all sitting at a table with an English crowd around them and Taniela's sort of jabbing at English culture a little bit. It's been received a little bit harshly online. I don't think the English crowd likes it.
I think it overwhelmingly it's been positive, received positively, but then there's always a couple of PC fools that...
Negative Nancys?
Yeah. From Dural.
You leave Adrian out of this. He's a great listener of the show. But
I think it's great. It's a bit of tongue-in-cheek. I think Taniela played a really good role in it. It basically just depicts the old English posh kind of crew talking about how our style of play, the running rugby and that type of thing, isn't true rugby as they'd like to play it up there in the Northern Hemisphere, and just pokes a little bit of fun. I think most people saw it for what it is, a bit of lighthearted banter.
Yeah.
A couple of people get offended on behalf of others and will write a tweet or something, but who cares?
It does get to show you the marketability of Taniela Tupou though now as well. Like, he is the lead star that maybe a lot of kids would have as a poster on their wall if it were to be Australian rugby, which is.
I think we've got to get.
Cool.
That's one thing we've got to get better at as a sport is to really celebrate our individuals, and our characters within our game as well. I mean, really encourage this type of behaviour and exposure, and so we get to know some of these players more intimately than just getting them, you know, like getting to see them play on a weekend or footage at training.
Yeah, 100%. It's I felt like the Tars did that this year in many ways, getting their identity back and love for the players, and the players gave back to the grassroots.
You're a real Waratah tragic, aren't you?
Oh, man, I don't mean to be. I'm a rugby tragic.
Actually. No, but rugby tragic.
Yeah,
I mean, with sky blue blood.
Yeah, I do my best to be unbiased, but. You know what? I was all behind the Brumbies the other week. I've got mates that go for the Brumbies. But look, I do think Taniela Tupou is playing that role, and I think a lot of kids are looking up to it that are coming through the ranks, and I think he's doing it well with a bit of tongue in cheek.
Yeah, I think he's got a really good balance going at the moment in terms of showing his personality off the field, but also getting his job done on the field. And hopefully he's over that little calf injury as well. When I say little, probably big, because he's also got calves at Match Pond for Almasilis. But yeah, it'd be good to see him in this England series for sure.
And we also saw the Rugby Championship dates announced this year, later in the year towards September there. The only Bledisloe Cup in Australia this time round is down in Melbourne on the 15th of September.
Yeah, it's a Thursday night game.
Thursday night game. I may have snapped up some tickets for during the week. Yeah, I did.
Of course you did.
Well, it's my birthday the day before. I'm making a bit of a weekend of it with
Emma. If it's your birthday the day before, you're a chance of not even making the footy.
That's not true.
Mate.
I'll be there in full force, mate. I think it's, fingers crossed, we get a England win under our belts. But after seeing that display last night of English club rugby, geez, we're going to have our hands full for a Wallabies team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the depth of player that Eddie Jones has to select is immense.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, there's an England team playing against the Barbarians tonight, which will be obviously without all those players that have played in the final last night. So, yeah, plenty of depth.
Hey, we've got a question here from John. John says, why does Super Rugby finish the exact same time as Northern Hemisphere comps? Australia and New Zealand are in the peak of their season and their domestic comps have ended. It makes no sense, from John. Drew, hit me there, because World Rugby's calendar is one of the hardest things to get right, it seems.
Well, I mean, it's a good... I was thinking about it as well overnight with all these finals landing on the same time. Mm. And it's almost like we're pretty close to a global calendar, right? Like we're pretty close to be able to have it. It's just that we here are only playing from February to now, domestically I'm talking about. Yeah. Whereas up there in the Northern Hemisphere, their season starts in August and finishes now. Like it's a bloody long
season.
Like it goes so long. Like when I was playing up there in top 14, because the top 14 finals next weekend, that'll be between Cust and Montpellier, because those two teams won their semi-finals over the weekend. But you start in August, and you go all the way around to now, next weekish.
Through Christmas.
And, yeah, and if you're playing, you're obviously playing your top 14 or your English Premiership as well as the Heineken Cup simultaneously. So if you go through to the final of both of those, you're playing 42 games a year.
Good Lord. I struggled with 7 games of Oztag.
but that's where, like, obviously having the depth of squad and all that sort of thing. Whereas, you know, in here in Super Rugby, we're playing from February through to now. So, and we kind of have the second half of our season being the international season. But yeah, I think if we were to go to global calendar, we almost have to start earlier.
Yeah. 100%. Well, thanks for texting in, John. Hope Drew's given you a good analysis there.
There's no right or wrong answer. It's just we play half a season compared to them domestically.
Well, if you want to call or text us in on 0457 736 736. We'll be back right after the break.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Hello and welcome back to The Show and Go on SEN, talking all things rugby. And Drew Mitchell.
Yo.
It's time to have a look around the grounds of the Super Rugby season that was.
Now that it's wrapped up, let's have a quick little look at it.
It's a little bit sad. Let's kick off. Let's have a look at the Western Force first, Drew.
Okay.
Probably, they were the worst performers out of Australian teams. They did get close to making the finals in the end in an 8-team finals competition. That should be something that you'd be looking to achieve. But, Drew, what would you rate them out of 5 this year?
Put me on the spot.
Yeah.
I think probably 2.
Okay.
I don't know if that's harsh or not, but I just think there's a lot to look forward to with the new coach coming in. And I think with him, he's bringing some pretty handy recruiting as well. Michael Wells across. There's a number of players also from the East Coast going over to the Western Force. they've been served really well by some stalwarts, the Greg Holmeses, the Richard Kahuis, the Jeremy Thrushes of the world. But I think it's now time to...
press ahead.
Yeah, press ahead. And look, I think those are good signs for some guys like Bailey Kunzels of the world, Rishan Passatoa, getting opportunities that they weren't getting at other clubs before they moved to the Western Force. But next year is the time where they've got to start putting it together.
Yeah.
Like week in, week out. And not just be known for a team that's gritty and it's going to make you work for your win, but like test and trouble teams, yeah.
Yeah, fingers crossed we do see that. I think under Simon Cron, we will see some change. The Melbourne Rebels, Drew, out of five.
Oh.
You were very disappointed in them this year.
Well, yeah, the style in which they were playing early was poor.
Yeah.
Just, you know, really sort of, just it seemed like a negative type of approach, just to taking penalty shots and not really putting teams under defensive pressure.
Well, they certainly didn't have a big presence in the Wallabies squad that went out there. Look, what have they got to change going into next year?
Their attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just...
looked like it lacked confidence this year.
Yeah, confidence. I just thought they were playing too deep. I thought they changed around. Like, I just didn't understand going through a whole preseason, starting with Carter Gordon as your number 10 in the first game in horrendous conditions and then dropping the poor young kid. Like... If he's your man through after a preseason, then you back him for more than 1 week.
Yeah, yeah, that
you've got to.
Good signs, mate. Moving up,
it looks like Matt Tolomu has gone up to Japan as well.
He has signed.
So they've also got to recruit well.
Yeah,
and the halves is somewhere where they need to recruit and have a person that's going to just steer that team around and put their fingerprints all over their attack.
They've got Joey Powell in there. I think it'll be interesting to see. Well,
Carter Gordon re-signed. If he's your man, stick with him. Stick and pick.
Yeah. Next up, we have the New South Wales Waratahs. Now, a fantastic season, and you know I love my Tars, Drew. But look, they did better than we all thought they were going to this year after losing every game last year. Definitely a pass mark this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought they were pretty impressive coming from not having won a game last year to where they were. I think they've They're on the right sort of trajectory. And I think if you look at their performance in the first week of the playoffs, got out-muscled at every sort of physical contest. That's their improvement area for next year.
They need to put size on or?
Size on, maybe recruit one or two. Just hard ball-running sort of...
Jacques Paqueta style.
Yeah, like a back rower or someone like that that is going to make defences look up and go, okay, this guy's coming at me. They're recruiting well, a bit of experience back with Namani Nodolo, Kirtley Beale. There's a lot to like about this Waratahs side, but again, there's some areas where they need to address just to kind of to make sure they go that one step further next year.
Yeah, 100%. And Queensland Reds, Drew?
I'd like to see them just have a more well-rounded squad. I felt that when James O'Connor got injured... Their attack really dropped. Their attack really dropped off in terms of being able to, again, pressure and create for players in and around them. That to me is probably where they struggled.
Bit of depth, and we know that Brad Thorne likes bringing players through the development system there. Last but not least, Drew, the ACT Brumbies, they made us proud making it down to the semi-finals in Eden Park, where it was controversial that they didn't make it through. A solid season, but next year, Drew, what have they got to focus on in the off-season?
Well, you know, like there's a lot to like about the Brumbies. I think, you know, with Dan McKellar moving on, you've got a guy in Stephen Larkham coming to coach them. So I think, you know, he's knowing Stephen from both a player's perspective, but also being coached by him as well. Like he's very intelligent in being able to come up with plays to expose other teams. And so I think whilst they'll still have the set piece and the core things that they're really strong with, I think they'll add a few little trick plays up their sleeve and we'll see a little bit more attack from the Brumbies moving forward, which will be nice.
An awesome Super Rugby season, and I know the fans enjoyed it as well. This is Jimmy and Drew on SEN. We'll be back right after the break.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
And welcome back to The Show and Go on SEN. What a show today, Drew. Jeez, we've covered all parts of the globe today.
Yeah, the rugby globe.
Ah, God, what a great weekend of footy. And I tell you what, It's there's more to come of the international season after that. Well, we've just got a text through from Gregory. Would you like to see the Tars play more games at Leichhardt over the new stadium? Drew?
No, I'd like to see, look, I've loved it out at Leichhardt, but it's because it's been out there because of the fact we've got we've been waiting on this the SFS to be built. I think it'd be nice to go there. I think still probably room to maybe play one or two games at Leichhardt. I think it's been an amazing experience each time we've gone out there this year. But I mean, if we can, you know, get that crowd to pack SFS, that would be fantastic. And just take maybe a couple of games out to Leichhardt.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the schedule's like next year, but I do hope to see some community rugby grounds in there myself as well. But I am excited, Drew, to sneak into the commentary box and cause a nuisance of myself in the new stadium there.
I'm going to have to cancel your accreditation, I
think. What accreditation? I always find a way. Now, Drew, the last thing we've seen headlines of in the rugby world in Australia recently is the threat that Hamish McLennan's made to New Zealand rugby that we would pull out from 2024 of Super Rugby and create our own domestic competition. Drew, is this a good or bad tactic from Rugby Australia,
mate? I don't like it. I don't know enough about it, but my initial reaction is that I don't like it. I just think they're talking about the success of Super Rugby AU, but I feel like it was successful because it was all we had at the time.
COVID.
We were locked up. And it was the only type of sport we could consume. It was the only competition we were able to play in. So it was more of a forced into that situation. It was a means to an end at that point. But then, you know, we've come out of it, I think, to go forward. And I understand that New Zealand, I think, are getting a way larger piece of the pie in terms of the broadcast deal. So maybe there's an allowance there or an opportunity there to maybe negotiate a bigger slice of that. I don't think we're going to get anywhere near the same type of broadcast deal if we're just playing domestically. We've tried the NRC a number of times. It just hasn't taken off.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And you're not going to just play a competition with five teams. Come on.
No, it did lose its variety. And after seeing this Super Rugby season this year and us holding our own, look, it just gets a little bit boring with that.
I also think we've got to be careful. We're not in a position to start making threats like that.
That's exactly right, Drew. Hey, Drew, great show today, mate.
Thanks, mate.
And I hope to see your swing improved next week, okay?
My left hook goes all right, so you keep going. You'll experience that swing.
Thanks so much for listening, guys, to the show and go on SEN. I'm Jimmy Galvin. Drew Mitchell, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, mate.
And we'll see you next week.